Good morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning, friends. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. You can tune in 1220 AM, 104.3 FM, and streaming online 24/7 at KSLM.news. We're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you with news that you can use. And it is a terrific Wednesday. And my goodness, already the 21st day of October, and we are less than 2 weeks away from the election. And oh, what a stir going on. National headlines, local headlines, everything's about the election. And of course, building up to the last debate tomorrow night. In fact, the discussion around coffee this morning at my house is, where are we going to watch the debate tomorrow night? You know, we had an opportunity to go last time to our friend Josh's house and watch it. And not sure. We don't have cable in our house. We have the internet and stuff, and we watch things online. And most families that I know are kind of doing that these days just to save on some expense. But it does make it interesting when you want to watch things like this live, you know, on TV. And so that's going to be a big thing to figure out for the next day or so, where we're going to watch our debate. Are you going to watch the debate? A lot of folks are like, I don't know if I want to watch it after that last time or not, but it'll be interesting. On Friday, we're going to open up the phone lines and hear from you and what you thought about the debate. And of course, we know right here in Oregon, the last debate, certainly in the headlines over the last several weeks, Portland continues to be in the headlines and what's going on as far as the protests or slash we call them riots happening in the middle of Portland. And certainly there's a huge issue rippling through this state here in Oregon and our nation about law and order. And my question to you this morning is, how safe do you feel? Where are you at personally? Are you feeling like you wanted more of the same, or are you wanting something different? And I want to encourage you. It was interesting. I shared something on my Facebook page. It was kind of a fun little picture of a house all decorated with campaign signs and things and flags, and very patriotic. And it was a cute little house. And one of my very good friends, Dina, who's out of D.C., and she has been active. I've known her since Ground Game on pro-life issues way back in the day. She said, okay, it's great and cute to put up all these things and be in parades and things, but, you know, candidates need real help. Real help on the ground. They need our finances. They need calls to be made. They need, if we can do door to door, they need to do, they need our help. And it's time that we roll up our sleeves these last couple weeks and give of our time. And I couldn't agree more. I think that's really where we're at right now. And it's time that we put our skin in the game, our time, treasure, and talent, and do all that we can do to make sure our candidates finish the line, right? They cross over that finish line and we celebrate in victory. Because here in Oregon, lives are impacted by the decisions made out of the state capitol, by our county commission, certainly by our city councils and our mayor seats. And so it's important that we get people that line up with our values. And I know it's easy on conservative talk radio to be preaching to the choir. I understand that. But I do know that sometimes people tune in that are curious for the first time and they don't really understand the lingo. They don't understand what this is all about. I know people right here in Oregon, they're in their 50s. They've never registered to vote, never registered to vote, never participated, just live life. No shame in that. I get it. I understand you're doing your thing, working, all of that. But when it starts affecting you personally, you're thinking, maybe I should step up. And I'm so proud of them for stepping up. And why are they stepping up? Because people shared on their Facebook page. People were telling them that we need, you know, sharing their personal opinions. And I know it's frustrating. I know on social media, it can be very overwhelming at times. It's like, oh, the bantering. But we need to get to a place in our culture where we can have good discussion about ideas and be better for it from different perspectives. And I know it's almost like if you don't think like the left thinks, there's a lot of scrutiny, and people are even kind of afraid to even put a sticker on their car. I'm encouraging us to be bold and brave. Just coming into the studio this morning, yes, this morning at 5:50 a.m., I pulled alongside a gentleman who had his big old truck, and he had stickers and supporting candidates and all the way up to the national level. And I was so proud of him. I honked and waved and it's like, go for it. You know, he was bold. And I've heard people say, I don't want to put a sticker on my car. I might get it keyed, or I might get it, you know, something, someone might do something to me. And I'll say, you know, that's why we have insurance. So be bold, be brave, do what you can. And certainly we need to look at our circle of influence and who we can talk to and ask people, where are you at on this? How are you going to vote? Talk to me a little bit of where you're thinking. It's important, these conversations. We have influence. We have no idea. And I know it's hard and I know it's challenging, but why not? Let's give it all we can the next 2 weeks. Don't you agree? All right, I'll get off my soapbox just for a minute. I want to say thank you to Bill Sunderland, Country Financial Sunderland Agency, for being a morning show sponsor. If you have any needs insurance-wise or you're looking for someone to help you with a financial plan, Bill Sunderland will help you. Go to SunderlandAgency.com, give him a call, 503-885-0789. And to continue the conversation in regards to who is running locally and statewide here in Oregon for office, I'm so excited to have in the studio someone that I just had the pleasure of meeting just a couple weeks ago. And I've been following her from a distance because when I came to the state of Oregon, I wanted to know who are the local elected leaders that are serving in the state house. It's kind of fun right here in Salem to have the Capitol right in our backyard. And her story was so interesting to me and how she got into her position. And I'm excited to have her in the studio to talk to us. This is State Representative Raquel Moore Green. She's with the 19th District. Good morning to you. Welcome to the morning show.
Good morning, Stacey Ann, and thank you so much for having me.
Oh, are you a morning person?
I am.
I can tell because she's a smiling and she's dressed to the nine this morning. And that's the beautiful thing about radio is that I get to describe what I'm seeing, right? Welcome to the morning show. And I want our listeners to learn a little bit about you before we dive into some of the state issues and things. Talk to us a little bit about who you are, and then let's talk a little bit about how you got to be a representative.
Thank you. You know, for years I have said that I'm a mom, I'm a wife, and I'm a grandmother, mm-hmm. and I'm a woman of faith. And much of how I look at things and assess situations is drawn from those experiences and that lived experience. My mother was Puerto Rican, and she came to the States when she was 17 years old, and that had a huge influence on me, as well as my father. He grew up in eastern Kentucky, and just very humble, you know, what you would call salt-of-the-earth people, and taught us love of country, love of family, and love of God.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And so have you always been in Oregon?
No. My husband and I moved here 25 years ago. Salem has been our home. We've raised two of our three children here, and two of our 11 grandchildren live in the area.
Oh, how wonderful is that?
There's, yes.
There's nothing more amazing than being a grandma. Are you? Do you? They call you grandma?
Well, yes. For those who have complete capacity within the language, is Grandma Raquel. Mm-hmm. I have a little grandson at the moment. It's Gong Gong.
Oh, I love it. And it is kind of whatever they decide to call you, right? Yes. Well, that is being a grandmother and a mother and a wife and a leader in a community, you know, all of those things, it gives us perspective, doesn't
it? Yes, it does.
So you're doing your thing, you know, you've lived here for 25 years, you're and your husband, raising your family, getting involved in the community. Mm-hmm. How did you end up being a representative?
Well, that's a really long story, so mm-hmm. let's just do a real quick footnote, okay?
Sounds good.
Yes, so when I came to Salem, I volunteered, obviously. You know, you have kids in school, you need to get connected to your community and all sorts of things, and stumbled into a part-time job at United Way of the Mid-Willamette Valley.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, and did campaign management is what I did. And I think I was with United Way for about six seasons, mm-hmm. and it was terrific. I got a wonderful overview of the community and the interest, the compassion, and the leaders within the community. Mm-hmm. Very unique opportunity, to say the least. Took a few years off, finished raising the kids through high school. We had girls in high school at that point. And I re-entered the workplace when our last child went to college, and that was about 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I went to work for the YWCA. And in the course of life, I sat and had, I was having lunch at a chamber forum, and sitting next to me was then Representative Kevin Cameron.
Oh, okay.
And we struck up a conversation. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, you know, I'd like to get involved. I'd love to volunteer for your campaign. And we had chatted and subsequently had a follow-up meeting. And he said, well, we'll get back to you. And I said, great. You know, looking forward to hearing from you. Mm-hmm. Got a phone call asking if I would manage his campaign.
Oh, wow.
And that was in 2010.
Oh, you got thrown right into it, didn't you?
Yes, yes.
And what did you learn from that campaign?
That politics is very different than running campaigns in nonprofits.
Right.
It's fascinating. There are a lot of the tools in your toolbox are the same, mm-hmm. but the pace and the focus is very, very different. It's fascinating. I went on to help him through his re-elections as state representative, and then he decided to run for county commissioner and helped with that campaign and his most recent re-election in 2018.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And so you're helping others in their campaign. And all of a sudden, you have an opportunity, don't you?
Yes, yes. And it was a very unique opportunity. One of the last campaigns I ran in 2018 was also Senator Jackie Winters. I managed her campaign. And and when you're done with campaign, I'm typically done with campaign.
Right, I get it.
You know,
I've been there, done that myself.
November 4th, you're done,
you're
or
like,
whatever.
Vacation.
Yes. Well, I got a call from her office in December following the campaign asking if I would come on staff for her. Mm. And I was very taken back. I was incredibly honored to be asked to do that. And I have a small business and business consultant, and I had other clients, so I knew I could not do that as a full-time effort. And so I was able to come to an agreement as to how I would best be able to support her and her efforts there at the Capitol, and went to, you know, added her in and worked with her office through 19. And then with the passing of Senator Winters, it opened up the Senate District 10 seat, at which time Representative Denise Bowles decided to throw her hat in and was subsequently appointed. And I thought, you know, that opens up 19.
Yes.
Maybe the timing is right for this.
Yes.
You know, I had been encouraged over the years. And, you know, timing is everything.
Yes, it is.
It really is. And I said yes.
That's fantastic. When we get back from this break, I want to get into that a little bit more. You saying yes and what happened from there. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Wednesday and every day. Delighted to have State Representative for the 19th District, Raquel Moore Green, in the studio talking to all of us about what's happening here in Oregon. We'll be back after this.
Hey, yeah, you. Hello, good morning, how you doing?
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning, stepping on my way. Good morning. Give me strength, give me just what I need.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann. It's 7:22 in the morning, and looking at the temperature today, 49 degrees at the KSLM studios. A little bit cooler today, partly cloudy sky, 58 degrees, and overnight low 35 for tonight. And I know, watching the forecast this morning up in the Portland area, if you're traveling up there at all, they've had some rain. And so that's something you want to plan for. Make sure you grab that rain gear when you head into that. We have rain in the forecast in this area starting on Friday, and temperatures getting pretty cool. In fact, Sunday night, it looks like we might dip down in the overnight lows into the 20s. So any of the last remnants of our flowers and things outside, I think that'll be about the end of it, unless they're real hardy. But this is the season. It is fall. I love this time of year. And I'm excited about, I don't know about you, one of the things I look forward to coming to Oregon is watching the continued football games between OSU and University of Oregon and the battles that continue, and watching some news that they're gearing up for some football games. And I one of the things I really look forward to is going back to my old high school at Sprague and watching a football game and just reminiscing about living here as a kid and going to high school here. And another part of fall is campaign. That's just a part of the routine. And of course, everything that we know has been upended this year with the pandemic and campaigning as normal, going through your county fairs and your state fairs and getting to connected with your constituents has been very challenging for many candidates, incumbents and those that are challenging. And we're doing our part here at KSLM to connect you to those that are running for office. And today I have the pleasure of getting to know Raquel, and she is in the 19th district and she's representative. And right before the break, we were talking a little bit about how you got into this position and that you were working with, just to recap a little bit, Senator Winters. And in her office, you had a pleasure working with her on a campaign, then you transitioned over to being staff, and then she passed away. And then there was an opening, and that's when Senator Bowles threw her hat in the ring and to be nominated for that position. Then her position in the 19th district was open, and you said, okay, it's time. And so talk to us a little bit about that. Then you said, okay, it's time. And what did you do then? Did you you didn't have to run an election because you weren't appointed, right?
Correct. But the way the process works here locally, mm-hmm. is it's up to the local county party, mm-hmm. of the office held to appoint somebody. So they have a process.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And so I went through their process of putting my name into the hat. I think there were maybe six of us, mm-hmm. six or seven of us.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken. And we went through the whole process with the PCPs, where mm-hmm. You stand up and you talk about yourself, you're interviewed, mm-hmm. and then they cast their votes, and then they come up with a short list of I believe either between three or five candidates.
Gotcha.
And Marion County typically, at least in the time that I have been involved, usually has three candidates, mm-hmm. that then go before the County Board of Commissioners. And in my case, my district was strictly in Marion County, so I only sat in front of the Marion County Commissioners.
Okay.
Right. So
right, and some of these others that go through the process, if there's a two or three counties, they would have to go through all of that.
Exactly. I remember when Representative Vic Gilliam mm-hmm. stepped down, mm-hmm. and the process then that went through it was Clackamas and Marion County were involved in that,
okay.
you know, and all of the commissioners come together and review all of those things.
It's good to know kind of the background and how this happens, because I think it's good for our listeners to know that it wasn't just something, oh, and here you are. No, you
Correct.
Had to work for it. You
yes.
had to show up. You had to have some a plan of why you, right? And then you get appointed. Yay. And so then you start. When did you start in this position?
July 23rd, 2019, I was appointed, and I was sworn in 2 days later.
Oh, my goodness. And so your first session then, official session, was in January this year?
And yes, that is correct. The mm-hmm, short session.
Mm-hmm,
yes.
The short session. Mm-hmm. Having worked with the senator, you kind of mm-hmm. already knew the ball game when it comes to getting a bill passed and committee hearings and all of that kind of thing. When you took office, what was the most surprising thing?
Oh, gosh. You know, there was a particular issue that came up shortly after I was appointed around a bill that had been passed, and all of a sudden I realized the weight of the decisions that you make just really fell fully on my shoulders,
mm-hmm.
And it was the realization that the decisions I make change lives,
right?
Truly, to the core of people, and I don't know that it surprised me, but it was one of those moments that you just really go, whoa. You know, mm-hmm. it's kind of like for women, mm-hmm. You know, when you have your first child, mm-hmm. and you're holding that baby in your arms and you're just going, oh my goodness, now what do I
do? Right, exactly. And the beautiful thing about how bills become a law and all the hearings and getting the testimony of the community and your constituents mm-hmm. is that they bring to the table how this personally is affecting
yes.
them and injustices in a sense that they want change. And they, I love how here in Oregon, there's offices of each of the representatives and senators mm-hmm. where you can, and you have staff and support
right.
where people can get their needs met in a sense, or at least heard on certain issues, particular issues. Now, having been a part of the House this last year in regards to, I guess it's still this year, it feels like an eternity ago
oh,
with all the pandemic, right prior to the pandemic and then moving into the pandemic, what are you hearing from your constituents through the last few months and things, trying to stay connected to them during the pandemic?
So since session. So one of the things, well, there are several things. We have a newsletter that goes out to constituents, mm-hmm. you know, so we have that. And of course, we have email, we have phone calls, hosted some Zoom meetings, town halls, so mm-hmm. I could hear from folks. A lot of concern around the cat tax
yes.
continues to be.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of concern around schools being closed.
Okay.
Mental health due to the isolation.
Mm-hmm. When we come back from this break, I want to talk a little bit about your agenda and what you hope to see it accomplish when you continue on as representative. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, having a great conversation with 19th District Representative Raquel Moore Green. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day this morning.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this wonderful Wednesday. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. Have a few things on the community calendar I want to remind you of. 40 Days for Life campaign continues at Planned Parenthood at Prayer Vigil on the sidewalk there from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. through November 1st. If you want to get involved, go to 40daysforlife.com/Salem. And then kickingcancer.org, they're having their fundraiser on November 1st at Top Golf. In fact, it's a golf-a-thon, and they have talked me into being a golfer, which is going to be quite amusing because I haven't done putt-putt golf even in however many years that's been since my kids were growing up. And certainly having been raised close to Illihee Golf Course here in Salem as a kid, you know, I've always been intrigued by golf, but never had a chance to. So I'll get to hit 100 golf balls for a wonderful cause, Kicking Cancer. If you want to be a part of my team and support my effort in fundraising, you can go to kicking-cancer.org/golfathon. And then our friends at the Hope Pregnancy Center, they have a wonderful fundraiser coming up on November 14th. We're going to get more details about that, but just put that on your calendar. We're continuing the conversation this morning with State Representative Raquel Moore Green, 19th District, and it's been so good, Raquel, to hear your background and how you, in a sense, how it's been laid out for you to get into this position. And now you are our elected leader at the State House, and you finish your short session, and then pandemic hits, and you're trying to, this is also a campaign season, and talk to us a little bit, you talked about how you stay connected to your constituents, but talk to us a little bit of how this has been, walking through these months of one thing after another. It's like you wonder if the Hornets are going to show up next, or what, you know, like what they say, Jumanji, you know, what's around the corner next, you know, how do you stay grounded, and how do you stay connected through this time? Talk to us a little bit about your priorities and what you've been doing during this time.
Well, right after the governor shut down the state. The legislature convened the Joint Special Task Force on Coronavirus Response, and mm-hmm. I was appointed to that. And we spent several hours in committee hearings at the Capitol. The Capitol was closed, however, we were still allowed to be together and meet in committee rooms together, and laid out a plan for what we could determine at that point in time were going to be the needs going forward, and laid out, you know, what that would look like legislatively, and presented our work to the governor, the leadership did, and we waited. And fast forward to mid-May, so during that March, April, early May period, a lot of time spent with getting unemployment started for folks who had been laid off. Mm-hmm. A lot of time spent on reopening guidelines and discussions around reopening. Mm-hmm. And so we get to mid-May, we start to reopen, and the concerns around, you know, will the counties meet the metrics? And, you know, Marion County didn't reopen into phase two initially. Mm-hmm. But we have finally gotten there and have continued to stay there, which mm-hmm. is good for Marion County. Could be better, but it's mm-hmm. What we have with it at the moment. And then we went into our first special session of 2020. Mm. And when I received the email that it was being entitled the first special session, I knew there was going to be a sequel.
Oh, boy.
You know, you don't call something first if there isn't going to be subsequent events. And shortly before we went into session, we had what I call the civil rights movement, the resurgence of the civil rights movement. Mm-hmm. I do believe that the work that Dr. King did over 40 years ago, 50 years ago, had kind of come to a stall, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. there was an acknowledgement that something we need to take a look at this again and mm-hmm. see what do we need to do moving forward.
Right.
We put in place some things haven't worked. So let's work on that. And then we went into special session and took care of some important business. One of the things that we left on the table was limited liability for our businesses. Mm-hmm. And terribly important. We still do not have that for our schools, our businesses, or our hospitals.
Yeah, this is something that on a national level they've been talking yes. about as well. Okay.
Yes, yes. And then, and during that time, there was a primary, wasn't there?
Yes, there was.
Oh, that's right.
You had a primary race, and trying to campaign during a pandemic, you know, I just have so much heart for all of you trying to connect with constituents,
yes.
influence new voters, you know,
yes.
potentially. And this is really your first full campaign, right? And so
yes.
personally, so this is all new for you. And once you get it down in this, with all of these obstacles, right, it's going to be smooth sailing. In the future.
Yes. Yes, it's the COVID culture of campaigning.
Mm-hmm.
Completely lot of same, you know, basic principles,
right?
But the tools have changed.
Right.
Tools have changed.
Yes.
And so we had a campaign, and it was done pretty much just virtually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stayed connected with newsletters, obviously,
yes, yes.
phone calls, postcards, mm-hmm. all of those things that you do to try to connect.
Right.
And moved on into the summer, and summertime for campaign is, you know, that there's that June to mid-July where you kind of, you know, okay, so how are we going to fix our sales for the fall?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, during all this time, there's all the constituent work that has,
right.
that continues. I mean, the unemployment.
Unemployment's been a huge issue.
Huge.
Weeks and weeks and
yes,
weeks. Yes.
Yes. And then the compliance and, mm-hmm. and around the guidelines and the need for PPE and all the PPP loans that were available, mm-hmm. and the SBA loans, you know, making sure the constituents with businesses got connected to all of those things.
What committees do you sit on?
I sit on the healthcare,
mm-hmm.
behavioral health, and judiciary.
Very good.
Yes.
Good places
and
to
then,
be.
Yes. And then this summer, I served on two work groups, the Behavioral Health Alternative Providers and the Universal Access to Primary Care. So those were two work groups looking at potential legislation for the 2021 session.
Now, under those, the health care and mm-hmm. the mental health and those things, are you directly or indirectly involved with looking at the homeless issue? Because that's something I hear a lot, is what is the State House doing and the governor to address practical needs for our homeless in our communities? Are you hearing a little bit about that, or is there a way you can be involved in that?
We do hear about homelessness because mm-hmm. There's the health implications right. of living of that mm-hmm. lifestyle or mm-hmm. that life choice.
Right.
And so we hear about that. But for direct housing and services, that has not really crossed over into the work that mm-hmm. we've done.
Okay.
It's you hold it there.
Right.
You're aware of it.
Right.
You know.
Right.
One of the things I think that is a challenge with addressing homelessness from a state level,
right,
is every community is different.
So unique, yes.
It's so unique. How the metro area wants mm-hmm. to handle homelessness
right.
is different from how, you know, Salem,
mm-hmm.
Eugene, mm-hmm. Lakeview.
Dallas even.
Dallas.
Lincoln City and
yes.
some of the coastal communities.
Yes.
And so it probably is more of a county and city issue than it is a statewide issue.
I concur with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the best role that the state can take is, you know, recognizing there's an issue,
mm-hmm.
allotting money
mm-hmm.
and saying to the municipalities,
right,
go solve your problem.
Right.
Or here are your resources.
And report back to us
exactly.
how well you're doing, holding
exactly.
them a little accountable for those funds as well. So
exactly.
mental health, judiciary, what is your hope for this next session as you move forward with these, your goals? Kind of what's some of your agenda, some of the things you want to see accomplished?
Well, one of the things that I would like to see accomplished is mental health being part and parcel of your primary care.
Mm.
And so, you know, integrating that piece in so that for any of us who've been to the doctor recently, I finally made it to the doctor last month, you know, delayed
mm-hmm.
because of COVID for my annual well check, as we call it.
Right, right.
that, you know, there's a form and it asks you, you know, have you had these feelings over this period of time, and if there's a patient who really is struggling, that individual should have access immediately,
mm-hmm.
because we all know that when we're willing to say, today is not a good day and I'm struggling,
it takes a lot to be able to admit that,
and that's mm-hmm. the point that you are open to help.
Yes,
because I think so many times when we struggle with depression or addictions, that when we're ready to talk, we're ready to talk.
I agree. Having a background in this work myself, I know that it takes a lot for someone to admit. First of all,
yes.
and that the professional would be able to identify and do something about
right.
it would be huge.
Right.
And so that's something that's
right.
a priority for you. And having gone through COVID, what I'm hearing is how this is affecting people
yes.
In their mental health in a way that maybe they've been strong in the past, but suddenly they're not working or
exactly
their routine
right.
is totally upended. And so we do need to be more aware in that. So we talked a little bit about how you've been, the special sessions and things like that, and you got through the summer and the primary and things, and then in September,
oh
the wildfires
gosh,
hit.
Yes.
How was your area affected by the wildfires, and what kinds of things did you hear from your constituents?
So House District 19 is South Salem, Turner, and Almsville.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, on both sides, I butt up to where the Beachy Creek fire was coming through.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So these are areas, too, that have been affected. People have been
yes.
affected. They were on notice for evacuation and all of that.
Right.
We're going to continue the conversation after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. What a privilege it is to have Raquel Moore Green. She's the representative for the 19th District right here in the studio. We're excited to find out more about her campaign after this.
Good morning.
It's a good morning.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. And the time goes so fast. It's already 7:50 in the morning. And right here at the KSLM studio, 49 degrees today. We're going to see temperatures get about 58 degrees, partly cloudy sky. Certainly not as cold. Our friends in South Dakota, if you're tuning in this morning, we know it's cold there. And it got cold when I was there last week for my grandma's memorial. And, you know, it's around the corner. It's going to get cool here, too, eventually, and more rain. But right now, we'll just enjoy the season that we're in, right? And the season that we're in is not only still dealing with the pandemic and the lockdown and the shutdown and the trying to, you know, get ourselves through this season. But we're now in the middle of a campaign just less than 2 weeks away and trying to get our ballot out and look through it and learn more about each of the candidates so that we can vote our values. And I really continue to hit that drum that we need to know where we're at and we need to evaluate where our candidates that are wanting to be our elected leaders locally in our state and in our nation. And so continuing the conversation this morning with a representative in the 19th district, Raquel Moore Green, and it's going so fast, Raquel, and I know there's lots to talk about. You and I could probably talk for 3 hours solid, right?
I think so.
And having been involved myself in South Dakota State House and how to get bills passed and, you know, and affecting trying to help out there. I know kind of the system, although I'm surprised by some of the differences here in Oregon. I'm very appreciative of the work that you do. And I understand the countless hours and sometimes sleepless nights when you hear stories and you're affected by things that are affecting your constituents and the fires. Man alive, hearing the stories, but also watching folks like yourself, leaders in our community, roll up your sleeves, be a part of the solution network, trying to get resources where they need to go and stuff. What was the most compelling thing for you walking through that season of the fires? Well, this was only 5-6 weeks ago. Talk to us a little bit about that.
I look at the canyon as our backyard. It's a backyard that everybody just loves and adores. And over the years, strong relationships with the communities there. Part of my work at United Way in the many years ago, the canyon was my part of my quote territory, and I got to know those communities and grew to love them and have continued those relationships over the years. And you know, a real personal ownership. These are our neighbors,
right,
and we need to take care of them. And I was, you know, the stress to that was very different than the stress to COVID, that initial response, right? Because it was literally life and death.
Yes.
I mean, this at your could be at your doorstep,
exactly,
right? And the concern of that, of the Beachy Creek fire to continue to move west and come down the canyon. And it sat there just east of Staten for many days, and they finally got that line in. But Almsville, one of my cities, was on level two for many, many days. And one of the I think it was maybe the fourth day of the fire, I went up to Almsville to visit one of the churches there that was collecting food and clothing and everything, and had a chance to talk with the mayor and what they were doing and some of the initial concerns. I think a lot of us, many times in situations like this, the things that did not work immediately come to mind, and
right,
what do we need to do better?
Right.
And we had a conversation around that.
That's fantastic, because when you go back, then I think next session,
yes,
is going to be instrumental on a lot of levels. With the COVID, how do we deal with a pandemic response adequately? How do we deal with, you know, fires and things like that, and rebuild?
Yes.
There's a lot of looking for ways to effectively rebuild those areas and get the resources to the people. We've had FEMA on the air here and talking about in small business administration and ways, even the environmental, Oregon Department of Environmental, what they can do to help some of
of those families. They've been on the air and all of these key things that people that never needed any of this support before, now all of a sudden, and I think there's going to be, we talked a little bit about homelessness. I think there's going to be housing issues.
Yes, absolutely.
And as we go into winter and things, and you have a full plate when you go to session in January. And I again will say the fact that you've already been there, the fact that you know the issues, the fact that you have, you know, your staff, it just makes it a win-win to have you go back, right?
Thank you.
So how do people get involved with your campaign? What kind of help do you need? And tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we're at that point in the campaign where it's get out the vote. And mm-hmm. that means make sure you vote your ballot mm-hmm. from the bottom to the top, from the top to the bottom and inside out, and you get it turned in time. And as far as volunteering with the campaign, anybody who would be willing to make phone calls, that would just be tremendous. It's mm-hmm. it's easy to do. We provide a script, and you can do it at your leisure. Mm-hmm. You don't need to necessarily show up anywhere in order to do it, you know. And to volunteer, you can visit my website, mm-hmm. and that's www.rmghd19.com.
Okay. And we'll put this up on our show plan and podcast so people can follow up and get a hold of you. Are you doing any sign waving?
Oh, we are.
Let's talk about that.
Okay. So we did it last week, and Senator Bowles' campaign joined mm-hmm. us, and it was terrific. And we did that on Friday afternoon. We will be doing that again this Friday afternoon at the intersection of Kubler and Commercial in South Salem.
Yay.
From 4:30 to 5:30. So if you'd like to come out and wave some signs, we would just love to have you.
I have been on those sign waving tours, and it's a lot of fun. And I'm also the one that drives by and honks like 15
Yay!
Times, you know, gets everybody all excited. It is fun to see momentum, and it's a challenging part about this season is not being able to see the momentum. But I love the fact that you are working together with other
Yes.
elected leaders in this season, and hearing back from your constituents certainly is encouraging, I'm sure, to you. Do you have an email where people can email you as well?
Yes, yes. That's rmghd19@gmail.com.
Awesome. And so as you continue on in the next few days and hear that final result on November 3rd, what's your plan on November 4th?
Pick up signs.
Yes.
Because
you only have so much time, right?
To get them picked up. Have about 7 days.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure signs get turned in. And mm-hmm. and I've over the years, I figured that out after running the first campaign. It's like, no, you don't schedule anything on the 4th.
Mm-hmm.
You make sure that you clean up campaign.
Yeah.
Yes.
You wrap it up in
yep,
a sense,
absolutely.
Right? And so
yes.
that's what you see. You could use some help then too,
absolutely.
Right? Even the day after. And being an elected leader, working in campaigns, and then now being the person people are helping, what is the greatest moment? Do you have a story or something as we wrap up here, something that really speaks to you about that connection with your constituents in a campaign? Can you think of anything?
Yes. So we had decided to, we knew we were going to have a text program within our campaign. We were actually going to start it in mid-October, started it in September. And text went out, had my phone number on it, got a call from a woman who, a constituent whose brother and sister-in-law had lost their home in the fire. And I was able to
help
connect them.
Oh, I love it. That's what I'm talking about. People think the hokey pokey is what it's all about. Nope. What you just did there, connecting, representing. Thank you for representing the people. Thank you for taking the time to be here this morning.
It's an honor.
Yes. And
thank
we
you,
look
Stacey.
Forward to hearing the good news of you going back to the State House.
Thank you.
All right. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Wednesday. We'll be going into hour two. Our special guest next hour, Senator Bowles. We'll be back after this.
We're coming.